At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, well, let's dive in. Let's dive into this incredibly short chapter here.
Yes.
Could probably actually even read it. It's so short. So this is Tyrion 7 of A Storm of Swords. So Tyrion is lying in bed with his wife. Dreadful details of the Red Wedding have reached King's Landing about how the Freys mutilated the corpse of Robb Stark and Catelyn Tully. Tyrion has tried to keep those stories from Sansa and wants to comfort her, but he knows she will never take comfort from a Lannister. He leaves to visit Shae in the room where the dragon skulls are kept, but he remembers his recent conversation with Varys. The eunuch warned him that if he was confronted by the queen, he would have to tell her the truth about Shae. Tyrion realizes that if he is to save Shae, he must either send her away or marry her off. After she pleases him, he decides that he will marry her to Ser Talad, and Cersei will never think to find out who she is. So, yeah, I was actually shocked at how short this chapter was because I was like,
well,
we
were hyped last time.
Well, because
Tyrion.
Yeah, we just had a big Daenerys chapter and everything. So it's actually really like a part two of the previous Tyrion chapter. Where
yes,
remember,
it is.
In the last chapter, Tyrion just got the news of all of this stuff was going down. And that was actually quite a large chapter. But here we go. So just sort of the opening bit here. Tyrion dressed himself in darkness, listening to his wife's soft breathing from the bed they shared. She dreams, he thought, when Sansa murmured something softly, a name, perhaps, though it was too faint to say, and turned onto her side. A man and a wife, they shared a marriage bed, but that was all. Even her tears, she hoards to herself. He had expected anguish and anger when he told her of her brother's death, but Sansa's face had remained so still that for a moment he feared she had not understood. It was only later that with a heavy oaken door between them that she heard the sobbing. Tyrion had considered going in to her then to offer what comfort he could. No, he had to remind himself she will not look to solace from a Lannister. The most he could do was shield her from the uglier details of the Red Wedding as they came in from the twins. Sansa did not need to hear how her brother's body had been hacked and mutilated. He decided how her mother's corpse had been dumped naked into the Green Fork and in a savage mockery of House Tully's funeral customs. The last thing the girl needed was more fodder for the nightmares.
Yeah, and Tyrion's basically going through the checklist of how awful this thing is, which I think is Tyrion acknowledging the fact that this is terrible, but also went way too far. Like, the amount of disrespect is kind of insane. I know they're at war, but ironic coming from the Lannisters who pride themselves on being so pretentious. I think that this is one of those chapters, Matt, we talk about POV reads all the time, but you would miss some very good characterization from Sansa. George intentionally gave us the reaction to this event from Tyrion's POV for Sansa, and it does a lot for her character. My heart breaks for her in this moment. We kind of know where she's at mentally by Tyrion's observations. We also get the wonder, is she shielding herself because she doesn't trust Tyrion fully, right? She's probably having a very different reaction on the inside of her head. Makes you want to read the next Sansa chapter for sure. But we also get a lot of characterization from the empathy that I think Tyrion is showing her in this moment. And just how bad of a position he's also in. Not saying it's worse, but Tyrion is in a very awkward spot. Hey, we just killed your family and disrespected everything that your house stands for. And we're supposed to consummate this marriage. I mean, that is awful stuff. I mean, it's just such a terrible predicament to be in, obviously for Sansa more so than Tyrion. But this is one of those times where I think if you just did a POV read of Sansa, you would miss a little bit of that.
Yeah, and I think part of this chapter from Tyrion's point of view, ultimately what it does is it shows, I mean, a lot of it is just why he's still loves Shay and he wants to keep Shay close, because yeah. I think, you know, it's much harder for him to give away Shay or to try to get rid of her because Sansa wants nothing to do with him. Like if Sansa were on the other side and Sansa began to love him and everything, then I think he would easily just dismiss Shay. It'd be much easier to get rid of her. But
I don't think he would easily do it. I don't think he would easily do it.
I don't know. I think Tyrion would. I think that's a good what if. Like, what if Sansa did actually fall for Tyrion? Do you think he would have just gotten rid of Shay?
I don't think he would have got rid of her. I think it would have been a big conflict within himself. Thank God, by the way, thank God George didn't go that route.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be awful. So bad.
Our world in itself is far too full of, you know, relationships.
Gross
things. Yeah.
Yeah. And
honestly, we don't need more of that in our books.
We don't need it in our books. And I will tell you, there's stuff in the fantasy genre, like people would write that in. I've read the books. I mean, it's just so. Like, well, I'm a damsel, but you're a good person, so I love you now. And it's like, what are we doing here? I think George, if anyone can give him credit for one thing, I think it's the fact that he goes with probably the most natural human instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't betray our intelligence or our own lived-in experiences for sake of the plot or whatever. He puts characters in really bad situations, and most of the time...
And realistic, that would have definitely taken place... medieval times and everything, yeah.
And they don't usually get out. And that's the hard part about the story to read, is that sometimes our characters put themselves in bad situations, but they're put in bad situations and they don't make it out. They don't magically escape. There are escapes, obviously, Theon and Jane Poole in Dance of Dragons, but it's few and far between. It's much more likely that things are going to go very poorly. So I think George made the right decision for sure on that, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Okay. We can continue on a little bit here. Like I said, it's like a very short chapter. So really, as we said in the summary, he goes down to the Dragon Skull room, right? Within the Dragon Skulls were waiting, and so was Shay. I thought my lord had forgotten me. Her dress was draped over a black tooth near as tall as she was, and stood within the dragon's jaws, nude. Balerion, he thought, or was it Vhagar? One dragon skull looked much like another. Just the sight of her made him hard. Come out there. I won't. She smiled at her wickedest smile. My lord will pluck me from the dragon's jaws, I know. But when he waddled closer, she leaned forward and blew out the taper. You know, that's just she has to catch him. They run around a little bit, and you know, she says some things. My giants come to save me.
It feels very playful in the scene, but now with all the context, does it not feel like she's mocking him?
Yeah,
it kind of pisses me off.
It is actually something to go back, because she, as we've said a lot of times, Shay is one of those characters where there is a lot of mystery around her, and it's that she is the character I look to when you think about any of the potential theories or stuff that we've all been theorizing for, you know, over a decade at this point, as we wait for Winds of Winter. And, you know, we're not going to get the answers to everything if and when Winds of Winter does ever come out. And Shay is really the reason for that, because there is a lot. I mean, was she just there? Did Tywin at that battle? Did Tywin bring her in, which a lot of people have theorized about, you know, to spy on Tyrion for him, because he is in there with her, right? Because Tywin would have just been with her whether Tyrion comes in to kill him or not.
Well, that's my question. I was going to ask you, do you think during this scene that she's already seeing his dad?
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know that.
We'll never know
when that relationship takes place. Yeah, when it starts.
Hmm. Fun to speculate.
That would be something to go back and try to dive into. Look at like Tywin and Tyrion chapters and see if there's any
did she switch how she's talking? Is her attitude different?
I bet that's been posted in the subreddit, but that's a very good, maybe we should Patreon that. That'd be a good one to dive into.
Yeah, we need to get all the Shay references, mostly toward, well, pretty much all of them, because we'd want to see if there was a change in her behavior.
Yeah. So, yeah, essentially, you know, they frolic around a little bit more, and then we run into Varys.
Varys in the Skull Room. Now, this is a very interesting place for all this to take place, and I don't think it's that it's by accident for two reasons. The first one is just one that I like to talk about. There's so much dragon stuff around Tyrion, and he has dragon dreams. He dreams of burning Castle Rock. He's, you know, obviously fornicating in this dragon room. So many things about Tyrion are punctuated or accentuated by dragons, and a lot of people think the Tyrion being a secret Targaryen is stupid. I don't believe that. I don't think he is. But is this all not just symbolism for the dragon that he will eventually meet being Daenerys? Right? These are maybe these are just like little hints to George saying, yeah, he's going to go over there and he's going to actually be on that side of things.
Yeah. Is there any potential that Tyrion is the Mummer's dragon? Because he's
wild.
Because he... Yeah, I don't know, because maybe, I mean, if you think about maybe like the fist of a dragon could be like the general of like Aegon or something. You know what I mean?
Can I just throw something out? This is stupid. I don't take this serious, but I just want to say it. What if, you know how everyone speculated about, well, what if Tyrion's mom was impregnated by the king, right?
Right.
What if Tyrion uses that? Like, he uses it in the book. And he's like, yeah, I'm actually a Targaryen.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, he leans into it. Yeah, although we know he's not, but he could try to argue that he is.
Like, that's a way he could become the Mummer's Dragon. I know the timelines don't match, but like, he could probably fabricate something in there, and maybe people might believe, maybe they
right.
Won't.
And maybe, right. And I think we think, oh, it means a false dragon or all these things, but it could also maybe it's like meaning like the voice of the dragon, right? Like, think about that scene in Game of Thrones where Daenerys burns the Tarleys and Tyrion tries to tell her not to do it.
Yeah.
Like, what if it's the other way around? And Tyrion's like, no, you should do it. Because remember, Tyrion in the books right now is going down a much kind of different path than Tyrion in the show. Because Tyrion in the show is like, became the favorite, the biggest, probably most popular character in the show. I mean, Peter Dinklage is the one who won all the awards.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have him freaking, you know, with Penny and all these, you know, all these other things that we see in the books, where Tyrion's like much more angry, much more aggressive, much more monstrous.
He's a villain.
But that doesn't mean he's not going to get redeemed and come full circle.
Sure.
But maybe if he is with Daenerys and the counsel he's giving her is actually maybe the other way around. It's like, no, you should use it.
I think Tyrion will try to influence Dany for his own means. And I've said this for a long time. I think that he will burn down Casterly Rock. And I think that might be where Cersei dies, potentially. That could happen.
Yeah.
I've talked about Cersei fleeing to Casterly Rock. I think we go there in the books for sure. So it's a good question, but you cannot ignore how many times dragons are mentioned in Tyrion's POVs. It happens so often. I mean, he has dragon dreams, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
it's massive. Here's another question for you. This is the second question. So we know that this dragon room is very much a Varys space. Do you think that Varys might have had a hand in Shay hooking up with Tywin?
Could be. Because I don't think, I think Varys likes Tyrion, but I don't think he...
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
He keeps all of his options open.
He also is very much on team Fagon, right? He is there.
Yeah, because that's not a thing in the show.
If he will kill Kevin Lannister, he will betray Tyrion. How about that? So I'm thinking, man, maybe Varys was the root of all evil in all of this. Like, he really masterminded Shay, and like, it could be him. Yeah. And maybe he didn't account. Maybe he didn't think Tyrion would kill Shay. He thought he had a more.
I know the only. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. It's just so tough because then you get into the ideas of like Varys and Illyrio. Were they ever actually planning on using Daenerys? Did they just get rid of her because it's just like,
well, we talked. Yeah. We don't know how much of this is going according to the plan. How much is them improvising?
Right.
It's hard to say.
Was the plan to use use Viserys and Daenerys? And then you kind of realize maybe this isn't going to work, or was the plan
Fagon the whole time?
Fagon the whole time. Yeah. Young Griff.
I think either way, Varys could still, I think one thing's true. Varys wanted the top of the Lannisters. No matter who they wanted to put in charge, I think it's very clear that the Baratheon Lannister thing was not going to be there.
Well, the other thing is, and maybe this was just the show not knowing what to do with Varys, or maybe this is
100%.
one of the things George told, where he's like, I'm for the realm. At the end of the day, maybe even with Illyrio, is Varys. That could very much still be his angle, because he kind of tells Kevin Lannister a lot of those things.
Well, that's to say, yeah, that we know that I don't think that's a point from George, but I think it's true from the books. I think Varys is being honest with Kevin Lannister in that moment.
Well, I guess my point would be then he doesn't even necessarily care about young Griff. It's just he keeps his options open to be able to manipulate people when and how he needs to.
Yeah.
And having this existential threat of young Griff that could potentially come in would open the door, you know, to, well, if I don't like, you know, if I don't like who's running the show now, then we'll get somebody else.
Yeah. I feel pretty confident that he would do pretty much anything to get rid of the Lannisters. I think he's set that they're not the right.
But after he takes out Kevin Lannister, and he's already kind of on the outs with them anyway, the Lannisters anyway.
Yeah.
He and Tommen may have gotten along.
Sure. I mean, Tommen was a good boy for all intents and purposes, or still is. But I think all of this said, like, with every possibility we go, I still think it's very possible that Varys knew that he could sow this discord between Tywin and Tyrion with Shay. And I think that he might had a hand in Tywin and Shay coming together.
Yeah.
And that's an answer. So I don't think we need that answer, by the way, but I think it's an answer we could get. Like, if Varys did it, he might tell Tyrion at some point.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be interesting?
Man, that'd be.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, in the show, he goes and Varys goes and he gets with Daenerys, and he joins her cause. Where I don't think that's going to happen, because he's going to join young Griff.
And there's the whole Dorne thing. There's so much. I mean, as you can tell, like, I know people are always like.
Maybe that's the you know what, I haven't thought of that actually, is that maybe that's the play, because we've talked about Sansa, and is she going to be the one that young Griff gets with, because the Army of the Vale is just sitting there,
then it would
give us the Varys Littlefinger clash, which needs to happen, because that's it's so set up from the beginning.
Varys is also a fan of the Starks, I believe. He went and visited Ned and tried to save Ned's life. I'm just saying. Maybe he sees Sansa as part of this deal. I think he has multiple chess pieces. It'll also be interesting to see if Varys and Illyrio split.
I'm saying they could.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
because
there's so many ways this could go, dude.
I know, it's so great. That's why I still love speculating about it years later, because it's so insane, because there's so many different things.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll continue on here a little bit. So, yeah, so I think Tyrion brings up a good point here, too. He says, you know, the spider was right. Tyrion groped through the dragon-haunted darkness for his small clothes, feeling wretched. The risk he was taking left him tight as a drumhead, and there was guilt as well. The others can take my guilt, he thought, as he slipped his tunic over his head. Why should I be guilty? My wife wants no part of me, and most especially not the part that seems to want her. Perhaps he ought to tell her about Shay. It was not as though he was the first man ever to keep a concubine. Sansa's own oh-so-honorable father had given her a bastard brother. For all he knew, his wife might have been thrilled to learn that she was with Shay, so long as he spared her his unwelcome touch. Then he says, no, I do not. Vows or no, his wife could not be trusted. But here he is still, you know, now Tywin said, don't do it. At the end of the day, Tywin said, do not do this. And he's continuing to find ways to justify it.
Yeah, trying to justify it, but also...
And everyone has told him, like, Tywin told him, this is a bad idea. Varys tells him, this is a bad idea. The walls have closed around Tyrion because he went from being Hand of the King. He was forced to do this thing. He's lost his nose in the Battle of the Blackwater. He was forced to marry Sansa. Walls are closing. He's continuing to hear that the walls are closing. Mm-hmm. And he's left himself vulnerable, really, because...
He has.
You know, we don't really get a POV. We don't see the character enough to know. But, you know, I mean, Littlefinger and Olenna Tyrell, they've been planning to get rid of Joffrey. And maybe if Tyrion had been more on his game and it wasn't going off with Shay and was trying to, you know, be with Sansa more, even if it's just be around her more, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Possible. I think also it's pretty interesting the fact that we just talked about Sansa can't trust Tyrion, and Tyrion's like, I can't trust Sansa. Like, no one can trust anybody in the Red Keep. It's so could you imagine?
Yeah. But that's actually, I think it's more crazy that he thinks he can't trust her.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly what would be happening at this point where she is going to like who's she gonna tell?
Right.
Yeah.
What's she? I mean, yeah, because he doesn't have anything on her. I mean, who's she's going to tell Cersei, and then what? Like, they need Tyrion to be with Sansa. He's a little short-sighted in that.
He is, and I also think that there might be some sort of desire of like telling his secret, like sharing his secret, maybe out of like some sort of guilt, possibly. But yeah, it is kind of weird that he feels like he can't trust Sansa. I guess she could be forced to say something, but she could also be forced to lie. False testimony easily, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Okay, I'm just kind of continuing on here a little bit. So Tyrion gets dressed, Shay comes back out and everything, and she asks if he's displeased her. This is kind of interesting. My lord, where are you? Did the dragons eat you up? No, here. He groped at a dragon skull. I have found a shoe, but I believe it's yours. So I don't know, just in the dark. Touching dragon skulls. No, he said too curtly. You always please me, and therein is our danger. He might dream of sending her away at times like this, but that would never lasted long. Also, he's like touching dragons, by the way. He's touching dragons, skulls, and talking about dreaming. Just maybe a little connection.
There's some stuff there. I really believe that. Stuff there.
A vague light was leaking through the row along narrow windows set high in the cellar wall. The skulls of the Targaryen dragons were emerging from the darkness around them, black amidst gray. Day comes too soon. A new day, a new year, a new century. I survived the Green Fork and the Blackwater. I can bloody well survive King Joffrey's wedding. She snatched her dress down from the dragon's tooth and slipped it over her head. I'll go up first. Brella will want help with the bathwater. She bent over to give him one last kiss upon the brow. My giant of Lannister, I love you so. And I love you as well, sweetling. A whore she might well be, but she deserved better than that. Better than what he had to give her. I will still wed her to Sir Tallid. He seems like a decent man and tall. So... I guess I don't know exactly when. I mean, we're getting is it the wedding is coming close, right? Is it, is it? Yeah. Oh, it's okay. So it's the wedding is not the next chapter because we go back to Sansa and then we go back to Tyrion and that's the chapter. And then you go back to Sansa again. So, I mean, so maybe she is with Tywin right now.
Yeah.
She's like, kind of, she may is maybe a little mocking a little bit. And Varys tells her, by the way, maybe that's actually maybe like Varys being like, hey, man, you need to stay away. Is his way of saying he knows what's
going on. It could absolutely be that, or the fact that and this is why I kind of want to go back and read some Shay sections, because I feel I remember her maybe being apprehensive, and then all of a sudden she's like back to being normal Shay, and I don't think that Tyrion has given her enough.
No, you know, you're right. She is because once he marries her, she's like, yeah, she's very apprehensive.
Yeah. So. Something has changed. So I think at this point it could
if you remember the last Tyrion chapter, Tywin kind of goes off on Tyrion for not of consummating the marriage yet. Like, where's the heir?
Yeah, that's right.
So it probably is like right now that it's already started.
Yeah.
Very good chance. Yeah. My guess is that he probably starts to do it because he wants eyes and ears on Tyrion because he wants that heir now. The sooner they get the heir to Winterfell, the sooner everything will be much easier. So they're probably, and then Varys is now coming to kind of talk to him and warn him. Of course, they don't know that the Purple Wedding is about to happen.
Right. And it's all ironic that Tyrion says, I can sure as hell survive Joffrey's wedding. It's like, well, maybe not. Exactly. You should never assume these things.
Never say that. But it probably has already started. Tywin and Shay has already started. My guess is it definitely starts before the Purple Wedding, just because I don't think he like just gets with her after Tyrion gets like sentenced and everything.
It could be like
to try and spite him because he's probably never going to see Tyrion again.
Well, he also questions her. I mean, hey, Tywin's a fallible man. You know, maybe he's questioning her, and then she seduces him. And like, I'd like to see what my son's so infatuated with.
Yeah, it's also
she's
crazy.
Had the young cub. Now she wants the Papa Bear.
Yeah, it's also crazy. By the way, man, I mean, we literally just did. Like Red Wedding, and then really you kind of have like that Daenerys chapter in the middle to kind of that's really what those Daenerys chapters are. They're kind of like segments.
But yeah, like, you got to bring it down a little bit before you hit the next home run. You know, you need to get a couple batters on base, and then you can go for the grand slam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, like you said, a pretty short chapter.
And we talked about adaptations for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I might even split it into two episodes just because sometimes I like to keep the
book stuff
chapter just now. Itself. Yeah, so I think I might do that.
Cool.
But yeah, so let's see. Where are we at next time? So
Sansa 4,
which is crazy. And again, same thing, man. Sometimes you got to read a lot of Tyrion chapters to get the Sansa information. So with that, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing A Storm of Swords, Chapter 59, Sansa 4.
And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheneepodcast.com.
We'll see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.
You're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, and your machinery isn't working right. Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal.
all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.